And so on this resurrection day, we come to the season finale. The season finale of the first season of encountering Jesus Christ and discovering him for who he is. And so, of course, it begs the question, as we are here at the season finale, as we are here at the celebration of Easter, who is Jesus to us? We might like to think of Jesus in our own way. Maybe a tiny baby. Maybe someone who likes to wear a tuxedo t-shirt. Maybe someone with huge angel's wings. Or maybe we think that Jesus is just like us. And that's how Jesus is supposed to be. Which, of course, begs the question, if Jesus is supposed to be like us, why is it that we are to strive to be like Jesus? How can we strive to be like Jesus if Jesus is already just like we? Now, that's different than saying that Jesus is connected to humanity or that Jesus is the representation of humanity. In fact, we lifted this up at Maundy Thursday just a few days ago as we were lifting up the Great Thanksgiving and Jesus breaking the bread, having the Passover meal with his disciples and saying that this is my body and it is broken for you. Jesus does this not just as God incarnate, but also as human incarnate. Jesus, the ultimate human, shows what it means that he gives his full humanity to us. But that is way different than having this image in our minds that says, Jesus is just like me, or I am just like him. Because the difference is, when we have that mentality, oftentimes what we do is that we're adding on or we're putting on to Jesus traits that we would like. Traits that maybe help us to feel connected to Jesus, sure, but sometimes we can kind of go overboard and put all of these characteristics and these labels and these imageries onto Jesus when that's not what he came here to do. And so we began with this series, we began with this season at the beginning to truly see, well, who is Jesus? Who is he supposed to be? Who does he continue to be? And we looked at many different episodes. We tried to see Jesus as who he is, trying to see this as the very first time we ever encountered Jesus. So we saw and we experienced Jesus with the baptism. We experienced Jesus coming into the wilderness. And after coming out, calling the disciples for the very first time, back when they were fishing. We saw Jesus as he goes back home to Nazareth, and people see him in a new and different way, in a way that was not healthy. We saw Jesus giving himself in ministry with compassion, with seeing, with going to the back, with the marginalized. We see Jesus triumphantly walking into a holy city, and the triumph being not because he walked in with power, but that he walked in with weakness, and even that was an act of defiance to the empire, to the culture, to the world. And so now, this Easter, at the season finale, who is Jesus to you? This episode that we encounter are the travelers walking home from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, and they encounter this stranger, this person that they had never seen before, this person they have no idea who he is, and yet for some reason they feel compelled to interact with him. And maybe because the stranger interacts with them first. And in this strange attraction, in this strange interaction, in this exchange, they begin to tell the story. They tell the story of Jesus to Jesus. Now, on that same day, two friends were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here these last few days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." What is it like to tell the story of Jesus to Jesus? Because that is part of the power when we tell the story. That is a part of the power that Austin and Ann shared this morning. It is part of the power of the story that Ina read. It is part of the power when any of us share the story of why this means anything to us. Because Jesus said, when you do this to others, when you do this with others, you do so to and with me. That includes sharing the story. Maybe that's part of the connection that we experience in this story, that it reaches into us, that divine spark that Jesus brings out in us. Because when we tell the story, when we encounter the story, we remember. And then things change. We change. Symbols, the things that we see and that we encounter, change. The cross was a symbol of fear. It was a symbol of pain. It was a symbol of intimidation. When you saw the cross in Jesus' time, you were not supposed to feel hope or strength or empowered. You were supposed to feel defeated, intimidated. The idea that if you mess up, that's where you're going. So now, what is it? What is the symbol of the cross for us? Bread was a symbol. It was a symbol of sustenance. It was a symbol of means. It was a symbol of stability. If you saw bread, then you were to be able to know that maybe you could be fed. Maybe you could be a part of that meal. Now for us today, what is it? What has Jesus made it? And it's not just objects. It's not just the things that we see. It's also the rituals that we practice. Mary going to the grave in the dark of the morning. Travelers walking from the city back to their home, a home where they were going to break bread. Jesus takes what we are used to, and he resurrects those actions. He resurrects those practices. And he resurrects our expectations. Because now they're out and they're open. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And they remembered. So here in this season finale, we see Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, taking bread and doing the same thing that he always does with it. Just imagine, some of you I know are probably going to Easter something, brunch, lunch, dinner, meal, maybe all of those combined. And maybe it's not going to be at your house. Maybe it's going to be at somebody else's house, a friend, a family, a loved one, an acquaintance. Imagine, now remember, I'm a Midwesterner. I'm still getting to know your practices. But imagine going to someone's house here in the South, sitting down at their table, and just as they are about to serve the meal to you, you reach over and you grab the main dish. Can you imagine doing that on Easter? I see some of you already going like this. That would be a heresy, wouldn't it? I mean, you can't get more sinful than that in the South. Jesus Christ, this stranger, this person that these two guys just met, who these two guys then invite into their home after they take this whole time telling the story, retelling the story, reliving the story. They come back to their house and they say to this stranger, hey, you've been with us this long. Why don't you come? It's been a long night. You've been walking a long time. We already have dinner ready. Why don't you come and be with us? This stranger that they welcome into their home, sits down at their table and reaches to the very center of the table, just reaches in and grabs the centerpiece, the bread. And he breaks it. And before anyone has the chance to say, how dare you, they remember. They remember and they recognize because Jesus did not wait to be polite. Jesus did not wait to use manners. Jesus gave them what they needed. Years ago, this very invite ministry that we have here at First United Methodist Church, we were talking about what it means to be invitational and what it means to be hospitable, not only to our folks here, but more importantly, to people in the community. And someone said something to the effect of, well, you know, I don't want to be too invitational. I don't want to be too hospitable. I don't want to assume. And then they said, I don't want to intrude. I don't want to intrude in someone's life. I don't want to intrude, you know, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to be a bully. I don't want to intrude. And then someone said, but what if they need us to intrude? What if we need someone to stop being so polite with us? What if we need someone to forget manners? What if we need someone? What if we need something? What if we need life so desperately that what we're crying out is, I want you to intrude. I want you to break in. I want you to reach over. I want you to break this thing. I need things to change. That's what Jesus does. And then we remember. We remember every single episode. It all comes rushing, crashing back to us. I remember you. I remember what you did. I remember what you said. I remember who you are. We began this series with a girl standing at her father's grave, taking that cross marker that someone had placed and picking it up and turning it over and placing it back down. Because for that little girl, the sign of the cross didn't mean anything. She didn't know what it meant. She didn't know the story. But she did know her father's story. And she knew that the symbol X meant something to him, which means it meant something to her. Easter is about taking that cross and turning it over, upside down, around and around, back to front, front to back, top to bottom, bottom to top, and turning it into something that means everything. It's taking something that means nothing and taking it and turning it into something that means something, and then eventually it means everything. By the way, for our scholars out there, we know what an X means, right? The Greek letter X is the first letter in Christos, which means Christ is still there. Christ is still there in the turning. Christ is still there in the tumbling. Christ is still there in the transformation. Christ is there when we remember. So Jesus does all of this, and now I'm jumping gospels, but Jesus does all this resurrection stuff, comes to us and says, now that you have seen everything, go. Go and make disciples. Now that's a really common phrase not only in the United Methodist Church, but really in the kind of the big church universal, that we are called to go and make disciples. Can I just confess to you, I have no idea what that means. What does it mean to make a disciple? Half the time, I don't even know if I'm being a disciple, much less how to make one. I mean, when I think of making disciples, I think like we put cookie dough in an oven and then these disciple people are supposed to come out. But see, the reality is, and many of you know Reverend Alex Shanks, the assistant to the bishop, and he preached about this not too long ago, that in the original Greek, it doesn't say go and make disciples. What Jesus says is go and disciple. He's saying, as a verb, go and disciple. What does that mean? Go do with everyone that you meet what it is that I did with you. Go share the story the way I shared it with you. Everything that we did, the healing, the prayers, the mission, the proclamation, everything that you experienced with me, go now and share it with someone else. All these episodes that we just saw this whole season, go and share that with someone else. That's what it means to disciple. Go and tell the story. Because Jesus' mission is not about how to get us to be disciples. Jesus' mission was to show us how to be disciples, how to be human. And Jesus showed us why it was so important. So things like healing and mission and service and forgiveness and hope, these are the way that we show that we are not just human, but we are disciples of Jesus Christ. When we notice and we pick up those who are alone and ignored, we show why we follow Jesus, so that all may know that they are loved by God. So now that we have been shown, who will we be? Who will we choose to be this Easter season? How will we remember? Thank you so much to our worship leaders leading us through this great celebration. Thank you so much, and of course, to our tech booth. I also want to lift up Rob Bell. So I texted Ron the other day. I'm just confessing here for a second. I texted Ron the other day. I said, hey, Ron, do you want to paint for us for Easter? He said, yeah, I'd be happy to do it. Just get me a canvas and we'll be good to go. I said, awesome, I'll do that. So at the beginning of this service, he said, hey, where's that canvas? I did not get a canvas. And I'm freaking out. And I tell Jeremy, Jeremy's freaking out. We're like, we need a canvas. We have no canvas. Ron's got to paint. And Ron said, that's okay. I'll just use an old one. And I'll turn it into something new. If that's not an Easter story, I don't know what is. I will take what is there and I will make it something new. He makes all things new. That's what resurrection means. Which means, Christ invites us to be in the midst of resurrection. We can take part in resurrection ourselves. So as you go, find those old portraits and turn them into something new. And while you do it, share the story of why we take part in resurrection and transformation. Because the world needs to hear that story. So go disciple and share the story of Jesus Christ. And may you go in that celebration. Amen. He is risen. Amen.